The Irish Times Inside Business podcast in association with Davy. It's amazing what you discover when you really listen.
Hello and welcome to Inside Business, a podcast from the Irish Times. I'm Cliff Taylor, standing in this week for Kieran Hancock. Ireland is entering level 5 of lockdown, resulting in the closure, for the second time, of many businesses across the country, including all non-essential retail stores. Coming up in today's episode, I'll be speaking with Arnold Dillon, Director of Retail Ireland, about the new restrictions and the impact on the sector in the run-up to Christmas. We'll also be joined by Michael Cronin, the owner of Cronin's Menswear in Cork City Centre, for a view from the shop floor. This evening, Michael will be closing his shutters again until December the 1st. But first, I'm joined by economist and Irish Times columnist Chris Johns to look at the impact on the wider economy of the latest restrictions. Chris Johns, tomorrow Ireland will head into lockdown for the second time with really significant economic consequences. Do you think the government has got it right moving ahead of what may have to happen in other European countries? Or are the restrictions here just too strict in terms of what's justified to control the virus and what we know about it?
Well, Cliff, like a lot of amateur epidemiologists, I've had to relearn humility during all of this, having expressed several opinions that have proven to be completely wrong. I think we need to be careful with how we A, forecast what's going to happen next, and B, issuing blanket criticisms. I was struck this week by an article in the British Medical Journal by some health experts, epidemiologists and doctors, who started the article by listing their mistakes that they made in forecasting and issuing policy prescriptions, and reminding us just how uncertain this is and that we need to be very careful about claims to certainty. That said, I do think that we can, with some degree of objectivity, make some observations about what is happening in Ireland and indeed elsewhere. We know from the things that they have said and the things that they have done that we at least now have some clarity about Ireland's strategy. It is being guided by an effort with a few interruptions from the government along the way, but it does seem that, in a way, I think that we have a new priesthood. I think many of us had hoped that Ireland had given up listening to these types. We gave up listening to people like us, economists, Cliff, a long time ago. But now we have an effort and their word rules. And what the strategy is, to me at least, quite clear. The idea now is that we have rolling lockdowns, because they're talking explicitly, apparently from reports today, about the possibility of more lockdowns in the new year after having released us over Christmas. Of course, none of that is certain. And we also know that Test and Trace, A, collapsed over the weekend, and B, wasn't rebuilt or invested in over the summer lull of the virus. So we haven't done Test and Trace properly in the way in which the World Health Organization and other experts told us to. And our primary strategy is lockdown. And that's something that the World Health Organization has told us not to do. And lockdown is, of course, part of all expert recommendations, or most of them anyway. But the prime line of defense should be proper test and trace. And Ireland, like many other countries, not all, hasn't done that properly. So we now have a big roll of the dice, which is not doing test and trace properly and rolling lockdowns until we get a vaccine or some other kind of antiviral treatment to get this virus in check. Personally, I think that's an incredibly high-risk strategy. My very non-expert view is that it's the wrong strategy, because I think the economic and social damage will be considerable and runs huge economic and indeed societal risks.
Where do you see the economic damage showing up most significantly, Chris? Obviously, the hospitality sector, the retail sectors have taken an awful beating. They'll take another beating now, but the outlook for them from successive closures must be really difficult.
Yeah, apart from being amateur epidemiologists, many of us have tried to grapple with the mathematics of coronavirus curves, and they're not straight lines, they are curves. We've learned a little bit about how things can be very non-linear. Things can progress in a straight line for a while and then either explode or fall off a cliff if you're the economy. And I suspect the reaction of the economy this time to 6 weeks of lockdown risks being much worse than the experience first time around because of a different starting point as much as anything else, and being on a different part of that nonlinear curve, a much steeper part of that nonlinear curve, to be a bit mathematical about it. So I do think that it's going to be different. My guess, and it's only that, as an economic forecaster, I can only issue guesses without any certainty, but I do fear that it's going to be worse. I do think businesses that clung on will give up the ghost. And given that the initial starting point for many businesses who have survived so far is so much worse than it was back in February, March, when they were, relatively speaking, at least in a much healthier position, I think that we might well be horrified by the extent to which the economic damage could be much worse this time around.
So you're talking about businesses who perhaps came into the crisis in a reasonable financial position, weathered the first lockdown, have got some of the ground back, but not all of it, and now have less by way of resources going forward, and may just run up the white flag. Is that what you mean?
Absolutely. One of the things that we learned through the first lockdown is how sectoral the impact was. A lot of the economic forecasts turned out to be wrong because so many sectors, particularly, as we know, chemicals, high tech, pharmaceuticals, those sorts of sectors, didn't just carry on blithely. They actually increased things like their exports and their output generally. So we're talking about very specific sectors. You mentioned hospitality, and that has a broad definition if you include tourism as well. The aviation sector, of course, is in serious trouble. And I suspect that I would make no forecasts about any Irish domiciled airlines, but I would expect airlines over the winter now, if this continues more generally around Europe, will see one or two high profile bankruptcies or reorganizations and or takeovers. I think that sector, from the actual operation of airlines, passengers and all the rest of it, through to perhaps even the leasing sector, which there is an Irish dimension, could experience difficulties. As we run through the next 6 weeks, of course, we're also going to get Brexit, or at least the deal. Brexit's already happened. The deal or no deal situation will, one presumes, be resolved one way or the other over the next 6 weeks. And the point I'd make there is that we obsess about deal or no deal, but even if there is a deal, I think there probably will be, it will be so thin and so skinny, it'll look and feel and walk and smell like a hard Brexit, with all of the implications that always had for the Irish economy. So I think the economy, particularly at a sectoral level, is in for a very hard time over the next while.
One of the things, as you've said, is that the damage has been really severe in certain sectors and hardly at all in many other sectors. Is there a risk now of a kind of a wider hit to consumer and business confidence, that the tentacles of recession, if you like, spread out more widely across the economy, perhaps start to hit the financial sector, consumers drawing their horns, investment slows, or do you think that the sectors that have kept going quietly behind the scenes can still help to keep the economy in some kind of shape?
I think it'll be a bit of both. I think that there will be some spillovers that we didn't see the first time around from the narrow sector hit into the broader economy. There will be some, particularly I think in the SME space, that are not in hospitality, that could see, as you say, the consumer more generally pulling in their horns. I mean, the consumer's really retrenched massively, as we know. We've only got to look at things like consumer savings, consumer bank deposits, to see just how much money has been piled up and not spent. And at a macro level, we know what the government is trying to do, which is trying to replace that spending as best it can by borrowing. I think we're going to see that again. But as you hint, I think that there is every chance that with the increase in unemployment, that many people will now start to think, well, maybe this unemployment thing is more permanent than I thought it was going to be. I was laid off before, I was furloughed before, whatever language you wish to use. There's a chance now that I'm not going to get my job back. There's a chance that the unemployment that I'm in, is a more permanent thing than I was in before. And so that becomes a more old-fashioned recession, if you like. This recession has had lots of new features that we've never seen before. more generalized recessions that perhaps you and I remember from the past that ripple out from sector to sector from where it originally starts, there's a real risk that that happens now. And you mentioned the financial sector, which is really interesting and really important, because so far this has not been a financial crisis, because the banks and the finance industry in particular has managed to survive. But if their bad debts start going through the roof again, either from the corporate or personal or both sectors, then the rumblings of a financial crisis might be heard. We're not there yet. We're not there now. And so I don't want to be alarmist. But if this were to become a problem for the banks via their balance sheets, then we are in serious trouble. I think on balance, that's not probable, but it's certainly a risk that is growing. And it's a function of the time this is taking and the damage that is being done to those specific sectors, rippling out to other sectors. The more this goes on, the longer it lasts, the higher the risk to the financial sector becomes. And if some banks, either in Ireland or elsewhere, do start to fret about their balance sheets, then we have echoes of what we went through a decade ago.
Not a nice thought. Maybe to try and finish on a slightly more upbeat note, is there a counter scenario, a different scenario where a vaccine appears on the horizon sometime through next year, and we can start to see the economy taking off as sectors reopen permanently again?
Absolutely. And I think that's the gamble that the authorities hit in Ireland and elsewhere are taking, that the vaccine arrives and or antivirals, which we've seen one or two of already, start to come through that turn this into a flu or a bad cold, and then things start to take off. It's perfectly possible. There are mutterings that I see that something is imminent with respect to one or more of the over 200 vaccines that are in development around the world. I do know that, for example, in Switzerland, I'm told by friends there that the authorities are on the verge of, or at least thinking about, approving some vaccines in the way that the Chinese and the Russians, more controversially, have done so. Some leading experts have said that we should expect something by the end of the year. To end on that optimistic note, and going back to the point I made about consumer savings and the amount of cash that is just sitting in bank accounts for both the personal and the corporate sector, I think that if by some miracle we were to declare this crisis to be over tomorrow, unlikely as that sounds, there would be one heck of a spending party. And we would be talking about a very, very big cyclical recovery. That's when I think the V-shaped recovery comes in. And the data point that I show to you that illustrates that is the Chinese economy. Because if there's one economy that's done a V-shape, look at Chinese economic data, look at their stock market, it's a V. And that's what I think lies in store for us, provided it happens sooner rather than later. If we get through to the spring and summer and we're still talking in these somewhat melancholic terms, then I really will be worried. But if before then something has happened such that we can all in our own heads say, yeah, if this isn't actually over, I can see the beginning of the end. I think we go to the other side of the coin and that cash mountain sitting in banks start to get spent, and we could actually be looking at something quite interesting by way of a V-shaped recovery.
Let's hope that's the case. And Chris Johns, thank you very much for joining us. Stay with us. After a quick break, I'll be joined by Arnold Dillon, Director of Retail Ireland, and Michael Cronin, owner of Cronin's Menswear in Cork City. They'll be speaking to me about the shutting of all non-essential retail for the next 6 weeks. And the nervousness now in the sector about what lies ahead.
At Davy, we know your well-being should be financial as well as personal. And now when it's a little more challenging, if you're in a position where you have a pension, it's never been more important to get active. So talk to one of our trusted advisors now, and we can help you find a solution for your pension needs. A solution that could help you feel better about your financial future. Let's start the conversation. Call us today or search Davy. Davy, it's not just business, it's personal. J&E Davy Trading as Davy is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland. We take our responsibilities personally.
Arnold Dillon of Retail Ireland, what's your members' reaction to the second lockdown, which is now going to come into place from midnight tonight?
Look, I guess the sense right across the sector is one of just intense disappointment. The new lockdown is going to obviously shut down very significant swathes of the sector, potentially putting up to about 100,000 retail workers into unemployment over the next 6 weeks. It comes after, you know, I suppose a reasonably positive couple of months, and a lot of retailers were getting something of a lift and trying to get over some of the financial difficulties that they had obviously incurred earlier on the year to the longer lockdown. And I guess it's just a real body blow for those businesses that have been put so much effort in to trying to make their shops safe, spaces for their staff and their customers to be back in this place again.
And have they built up enough leeway, enough reserves from being open for a few months to survive another lockdown? Or is there a risk now that some won't come through this period?
Look, I think there are different stories in different parts of the retail sector. And I suppose it's split now into what is essential retail and non-essential retail. And obviously with those that are on that essential retail list, we'll be able to continue to trade during the next 6 weeks. I think there are real difficulties in many of those retailers classified as non-retail. They took a massive blow during the first lockdown. And I think there is a real concern that some of those shutting up shop and now and losing out on that key trading period in the run-up to Christmas may not reopen. We've seen already some retail casualties on the high street. And sadly, I think there's likely to be more.
And what parts of the retail industry, what types of shops are you seeing most stress in? Is it bigger shops, smaller shops? Shops in city centres, where are the pressure points as you see them?
Like, I think it's a mix across different sizes and probably for different reasons. We've seen some very big retailers in trouble. And also, I think, you know, smaller retailers, you know, that are less well positioned to sort of activate online platforms and be able to retain their trade using those different platforms are really in trouble. And I think obviously the high street is in a particularly bad place. Like Dublin City in particular is an example of a place where the footfall has dropped dramatically, and there aren't the office workers there, there aren't the tourists there, and we just won't see the throngs of people that we would normally expect potentially in the run-up to Christmas there over the next month or two. So the decision has been made. I think we need to make that work, and we need to be in a position where we can reopen retail in advance of Christmas. And I think that needs to be the priority at this point.
And what about the supports, Arnold, that the government have put in place, as well as the wage subsidy and the increased PUP? We have this new scheme now, which gives cash refunds effectively in times of closure. How important are they going to be to your members and to the retail sector now? Are they going to be enough to keep a lot of companies alive?
Look, the number of supports that have been put in place during the initial lockdown and that are also now in place to support businesses over the next 6 weeks will be the difference between an awful lot of businesses staying in business and not. So look, they are making an enormous and significant contribution towards keeping a lot of those businesses afloat. There are, the scale of the budget, I think, that was announced. I don't think anyone could dispute that very significant resources are being put in to try and manage this crisis. And I think in the long term, we'd love to think that will pay off in dividends in terms of positioning the economy into the future. But there are obviously crunch immediate issues facing businesses. And, you know, for example, I've been talking to a lot of companies this morning trying to see if they're eligible to keep their staff on their books through the employment wage subsidy scheme, trying to avoid putting them out of work and into the pandemic unemployment system. I think, look, into the future, we have seen rate relief. I think that's going to have to continue for affected businesses into next year until we see an easing of this crisis. And I think other issues, while we can put companies into sort of a freeze for a period of time, there are other liabilities that build up and other challenges. You know, we've seen significant number of rent disputes heading towards the courts, and obviously those disputes are going to be exacerbated by, you know, another lockdown period. So we would love to see the government doing something in terms of facilitating an arbitration process, or at least providing eviction protection for tenants to provide that space to work through some of those issues. And I think, you know, there's also, you know, so, you know, work that consumers can do to try and support some of those businesses that are shuttered, and make sure that in our, you know, in our purchasing patterns over the coming weeks, that we look at supporting those businesses that are, you know, suffering as a result of these restrictions.
To get a view on the ground, so to speak, we're also joined by Michael Cronin, who owns and runs a menswear shop in central Cork. Michael, first of all, tell us a bit about your business.
Well, Cliff, we're here in Oliver Plunkett Street for over 70 years, and we run a menswear store specializing in probably hats and caps over the last number of years now, but we also would sell other, you know, shirts, trousers, knitwear, etc. And the closure this evening will have a big effect on the whole city centre and on my particular business. Reopening as it is on December the 1st is sort of missing the opportunities of Christmas trade, because most people will plan to buy their Christmas purchases in November, would make the actual purchase in December. So we'll miss that this year.
How long were you closed for, Michael, in the first period of the lockdown?
We were closed from just before Patrick's Day in March until the start of June. And it was very strange. I remember one of my lads working with me here, Matthew, turned to me and he said, you know, when this lockdown is over, they're going to go back partying again and drinking again. And he said to me when he was going out of the shop in March, and, you know, this seems to be the pattern that has happened. We're still carrying on. And when the lockdown will end, we'll go partying again. This is, you know, and we'll be in lockdown again in January. When we open in December, is that for Christmas? Do people go out then partying and come back then with the lockdown again in January? You know, this stop-go system will have to stop. We're closed for 6 weeks now. We were flooded yesterday, and we're effectively this evening we're closed for until December the 1st. And it's not fair.
How was business in the period when you were open after the first lockdown, Michael? Did you feel you made up any lost ground?
We made up quite a bit of lost ground in the first few weeks. There was, you know, having been closed for the 3 month period, there were a lot of people that needed new clothes, and they came into us in the first few weeks. Then it tapered for about 2 or 3 weeks in July, and then it picked up again then. And we found it very busy until about middle of September. And then it has got slow in the last couple of weeks. I think the fear of lockdown has been looming there for the last few weeks with people, and it's happening now.
Yeah, interesting you should say that, because some of the kind of wider economic indicators and some of the economists are saying that they've seen a bit of a slowdown since mid-September in the economy as well. So do you have staff now that are going to get laid off for a second time effectively?
Yeah, well, we run a fairly tight operation. There's one other lad with me, Matthew. He's with me for over 40 years. And between the two of us, really, we run the operation. He'll be, unfortunately, off now until the start of December.
How do you feel now looking forward to reopening for a second time in December? It must be difficult in terms of managing your cash flow, in terms of managing the stocks of products in your shop, just in terms of planning for the future.
Yeah, well, I even put on orders there in the last week, and this morning I put another order on with a company because, you know, I realised that even though I will be closed until the 1st of December, when you go to buy product at that stage, it shouldn't normally be available that close to Christmas. So you kind of have to buy the ammunition to fight the war at this stage. And you're wondering, will there be a war to fight? But, you know, there will be, because come the start of December, people will come back into town, and, you know, you just have to have the product for them at that stage.
Have you thought, Michael, of going down the online route in terms of selling product, or is that not your thing?
I have, but I've given it a lot of thought. But to be honest, you know, we'd be an old, I suppose I would describe myself as an old-fashioned retailer, where somebody comes in, maybe tries on a hat or a cap, and if the, you know, I tell them, look, that's the right, that looks nice on you, or that doesn't look, maybe wouldn't say the word, it doesn't look nice, but maybe look, try another model instead. And we'd be very much a hands-on retailer. giving that service of and helping people to make a decision. This has worked for us over the years. With online, I'm very fearful that a lot of times people buying product online, you know, if they send it back to a company and it's sent out again and again, the product isn't really, may not be as new as it should be. I leave it at that.
Yeah, that's fair enough. And I can see how the personal touch in terms of someone buying a hat or a cap is crucial, all right.
No, it's been the way we've operated for over 70 years, personal touch. Online has its merits in certain areas, but, you know, a lot of people, when the sizes have varied over the last couple of years, things have kind of gone very slim in, say, some shirts. And, you know, if you're looking at a customer, you'd say, well, look, maybe the bigger shirt might suit you better. And I've also noticed a small bit over during the last COVID lockdown that people tend to be coming in for slightly bigger sizes this autumn rather than smaller.
The COVID stone.
The COVID curve is the term I heard, and I thought it was a very good description for it.
It's probably a nicer term than the COVID stone, all right. Arnold, a lot of retailers like Michael, not only having to cope with the shutdown, the lockdown that's coming now for the next 6 weeks, but also fearing that they may have to shut again in January and perhaps successively through 2021. That's a very difficult outlook for the sector, isn't it?
Look, it's a very bleak vista that you paint there. And I don't think this approach would be sustainable long into the future. And I think that that's why, we would have to look at different approaches if that was the case, and trying to make sure that that lives, but also livelihoods and incomes are protected through that. And, you know, if that's the sort of prospect that we're looking at, I think we need to be then revisiting the sort of businesses and activities that can continue through this. It is a difficult balancing act that obviously government does have. There are no easy choices, but keeping the economy moving, keeping people in work clearly needs to be a priority and inform those decisions.
And clearly a lot of your members will have put very significant investment, particularly, I guess, well, the bigger retailers, but the smaller ones as well, into measures to, safety measures, screens, Perspex screens, masks, etc. for staff, queuing signage and all that. Is there a case that you're making to government that this means that retail is effectively safe and should be allowed to stay open?
Yeah, and look, it has been incredible to witness how responsive and dynamic the retail sector has been in terms of almost overnight, almost in some cases, putting in place those sort of safety measures for staff and for customers. And of course, you know, very significant swathes of retail traded safely through the first phase of lockdown, and the sort of health and safety measures have been tightened up since then in terms of the use of face coverings in stores and hand hygiene methods. So I suppose that was one of the real frustrations for a lot of our retail members, is that so much effort was put into making these settings safe. And, you know, the information there from the health authorities is very clear that retail is not a location where there is any significant COVID transmissions. I think the number of clusters linked to retail about a week ago when I last looked at the figures was around 12, whereas obviously the clusters related to home gatherings was in, you know, somewhere in the order of up towards 2,500 or up towards 3,000. So look, I don't think anyone thinks that retail is an unsafe setting. I think the tack the government has taken is to try and push people essentially back into their homes for the next 6 weeks. And needless to say, that is having an incredibly damaging impact on the many businesses and livelihoods that are relying on those 6 weeks to be able to make it through the year and have a sustainable business into next year.
Are most of your members saying that they will try and hold on to staff via use of the wage subsidies and the other supports? Or are most of them laying off people and sending them on the PUP, or is it a mixture of the two?
They're really tough places that sort of businesses are trying to manage through at the moment, there is an enormous desire to try and keep people on their books. You know, people that have worked with them often for decades, and the prospect of putting those people out of work is really not something that any business wants to count on. So we do obviously have different schemes that are in place. There is the Employment Wage Subsidy Scheme, which was designed to subsidise people in work and take over from the previous wage scheme that was there during the initial lockdown. And what companies are trying to do is to use that scheme to keep, I suppose, to channel that support through the business to their workers. There are some technical issues around thresholds that we're trying to work through. But as I say, companies desperately trying to make sure that they keep that relationship. And I think that's really important from a wider economic view, because we want to keep people close to jobs. And, you know, all the data suggests that if we can do that, it's much quicker to get, you know, the rebounds and the reopening that we want at the end of this.
Michael Cronin, you made it through the first lockdown, and no doubt, despite the floods and various other difficulties facing retailers in Cork, you'll make it through the second one as well. But are you worried now that there'll be more shutdowns in 2021, that this is what we're looking at for, I don't know, the next 6 or 9 months?
Yeah, I'm very worried that, you know, it's going to be open, closed scenario. Like, I have screens in the shop. I have natural ventilation blowing through the shop every day. I open the back door, the ground floor of the shop, and there's a good gust of wind blowing through. So I'm literally trying to trade almost with the safety of the public at mind, in mind, but I'm almost trading outside in the open almost, because with the air going through the shop. And, you know, it's frustrating that we're facing another lockdown. But look, this can't go on forever. And a vaccine may not be found very quickly. This could be on, off for the next number of years. Who's to know? I do remember my father talking years ago about a polio epidemic in Cork in the mid-50s. And he said it took a couple of years for people to come back into the city centre, into shopping in the city centre. And, you know, I heard Arnold on there a while ago about Dublin is lacking with no office workers and no tourists. But Cork is a bit different to that. We have a very big rural population who come into the city centre, some on a weekly, some on a monthly, some on a daily basis. And so we're probably not as dependent as Dublin would be on tourism. But you know, it will be worrying that next year could be closed in January, February, open again in March, April, maybe close again in May, June. Who knows? You know, but there has to be a commercial reality looked at as well. In this, you know, businesses can't survive forever with this lockdown system.
Yes, indeed. On that note, Arnold Dillon and Michael Cronin, we wish you well, Michael, with the shop in Cork, and let's hope that, I guess, by early next year, that things are starting to look up for retailers, and that the people can start to drift back into Cork city centre and indeed Dublin city centre as well. Michael Cronin and Arnold Dillon, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Okay, that's all for this week. My thanks to our guests, Arnold Dillon, Michael Cronin and Chris Johns. Suzanne Brennan produced the show, with JJ Vernon on sound. Until next time, goodbye.